Ladies and gentlemen, let's stand out of respect for the Word of God. As I continue to preach in your hearing, as I am still in the Resurrection Sunday spirit, the Easter spirit, as the world has moved on from that, Easter, according to the Nicene Creed, part 18, the Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, day 748, since January the 20th, 2017, day 1113, since January the 1st, 2016. Please turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. And that's what you're supposed to do with the gospel, by the way. You're not supposed to just look at it, not just receive it for yourself and for your four no more. That's what you're supposed to do. That's why some of you are so depressed and defeated and sad, because it's all about you. You have a give me religion. Give me what I want. What's in it for me? But every Christian has been called and commanded to preach the gospel, to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Do something. If you are an introverted person like myself and some other folks in my family, I'm introverted only to the point of preaching the gospel. I can do that before a crowd of thousands and have done so. But if you are an introverted person and you are afraid to talk to people, pass out some gospel tracts. We have somehow come across a group that have the same spirit as we do about gospel literature. And if somebody in here can tell me the initials of that organization, I would appreciate it right now. In the back. M something. Say it again. MWTB.org. And I believe that stands for. Say that again. I don't think that's quite it. Over here. Say that again. Moments. Moments with the Bible.org. Go there right now and order some of the beautiful, sound, biblical, interesting gospel tracts and pass them out. And look at their videos. They will tell you how to distribute gospel tracts, how you can preach with the printed page, and you'll be amazed at how many people will get saved from the power of the gospel on the printed page. Millions have been saved through gospel tracts, or at least the seed was sown for them to get saved later. So the gospel is not to be looked at. The gospel is not to be covered up or hidden in your closet. It is to be preached. And the tragedy of the world today is that even most preachers have lost their appreciation for preaching of the gospel and have gotten to the point where they don't believe in the power of the preached word anymore. And so now we're doing skits. We have all kinds of weird things on our stages now. We have plays. We have videos. We would rather play a movie on Sunday morning instead of, as opposed to preaching the gospel in many churches. But if I want to go to a movie, I'll go to a movie. People go to church to hear the gospel preached and the word of God preached. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. So we see that the gospel should be received. In other words, we ought to expect people to receive the gospel. It's a faith matter, and it is a God thing. By which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Do you remember? Do you remember when you first heard the gospel? I can remember the first time I heard the gospel just as clear today as it was 40 years ago. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Somebody told the old story. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And that he was seen of Cephas, Peter, then of the 12. He was seen. These are powerful words. And this is one of the power points of the gospel. It's a part of the gospel. That not only did Jesus die, was buried, and rose again, but that he was seen by Cephas with his own eyes. He was seen by the 12 disciples with his own eyes. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren. It's a whole lot of eyes at once. Of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. But they saw him before they died. After that, he was seen of James, another set of eyes. Then of all the apostles, Paul repeats it. He wants you to know, he wants you to understand that Jesus rose from the dead and people saw him, communicated with him, ate with him. And last of all, Paul says, of all, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, he said, that am not meet to be called an apostle. It's always wonderful to meet a brother who understands he does not even deserve to be saved. He does not even deserve to be in the ministry. It's always good to meet somebody who's just tickled to be counted in the number among the brethren, the beloved. Because I persecuted the church of God, but by the grace of God, Paul said, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. Don't let God's grace bestowed upon you be in vain. You know what he did for you? Do something for him. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach. And so ye believed. Holy Father God in heaven, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you so much for allowing us to be here tonight during apparently our summer series of night services. And Lord, if you should tarry your coming, we look forward to getting back to the day services around noontime in the fall as we stay on the Just Jesus bus. And Lord, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy and grace upon each and every one of us, wretched sinners, even as believers, and forgive us, Lord, of our sins, our failures, and our faults. And grant us your grace to repent of our sins. Help us to pray, to seek your face, to turn from our wicked ways, and to humble ourselves. Crush and crucify our flesh and the old man within us all, afresh and anew, and fill us all with the fullness and the power of your Holy Spirit. Save those who are lost among us tonight, here and out there, all around the world. And we thank you for each and every person who comes each and every day, and all of the love that they show, the stars, the hearts, the likes, the amens, the comments. Lord, bless them. They do it even though I don't directly respond to them, as so many other people do. It's quite honestly, Lord, to me, it's rather disgusting to see people begging people to say something to them and make them do this and that. It's so sad. But Lord, I thank you for these people who respect your holy word and who just say amen and say thank the Lord and send a heart up or two, which is another form of saying amen. We give you the glory, praise, and honor. Thank you, Lord, for the lost souls that have been saved. We pray for more souls to be saved before it is eternally too late, those who have written in and told us and those who have not. We pray, Lord, for all of the people, and we thank you for all of the people who have come back to you through the simple preaching of the gospel, and those who have written in and those who have not. We thank you for the thousands of prayer requests that have come in. Thank you for the thousands of answers to prayer. And we give you the glory, praise, and honor. And now, Lord, glorify your holy name. Lift up your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in spite of ourselves, only because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We plead the blood of Christ. Demonstrate the power, the unction, and the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Steal every heart. Stop every demon and every Judas spirit trying to hinder this work tonight. Surround us with the band of your holy angels. Place, Lord, upon us the encasing of the whole arm of God for your glory, praise, and honor. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight regarding 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 11, Dr. Philip Schaff said, observe what the primitive apostolic gospel consisted of. A connected series of historical facts. I said, or he said, historical facts. The story of Christ's life in its main features. Dying for our sins. Do you have any sins? Of course you do. Jesus died for our sins. According to the Holy Scriptures. At that time, by the way, the Holy Scriptures that Paul was referring to was the Old Testament. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, he goes on to say, his resurrection from the dead attested by a multitude of competent witnesses. The first thing they're going to call for in a courtroom are witnesses. There's nothing like having some witnesses to the fact. How many times have you said, okay, I hear you, but now I need for you to sign this document in front of these people right here so that these are my witnesses. And then somebody will say, well, you know, we're supposed to be friends and brothers and all. Yeah, I know all of that, but you need to sign these documents in front of this notary right here so there's no confusion in the future, because our minds get fuzzy if we don't have a witness. He goes on to say his ascension and session at the right hand of God and his final coming again to judge the quick and the dead. In this historical sense, our Lord himself had used the word gospel, is what Dr. Schaff said. End of quote. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we are continuing our series drawn from the Word of God, the Holy Bible, as always, and a historical text based on the Word of God and the Holy Bible, the Word of God, which is the Holy Bible. And I told you I have to say that in this day and time, because many people don't know what the Word of God is. They think their Word is the Word of God, and that is ridiculous, okay? That is ridiculous, my dear friends. But there are many people who think their words are the very words of God, and you're going to get yourself in a world of trouble. But the Bible that was passed down from the early church all the way to us today, called the Nicene Creed. It is similar in nature to the Apostles' Creed. In this series, beloved, we are talking about the importance of the historical, not only the importance of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, but the importance of the historical Christian faith based upon the gospel that was passed down to us from the early church, and how that we, as many Christians today, are falling away from it, and how that we ought to return to it, and how that the world ought to hear about the gospel once delivered to the saints, and the whole counsel of God, so that those who are lost can hear the gospel and be saved. Because if you recall, if you are saved, you heard the gospel. If you are saved, you should remember hearing the gospel. Somebody passed on to you the gospel. If you think your salvation is based upon the fact you got a baptismal certificate at the age of 12, you're probably going to hell. If you are just remembering an experience, somebody was breathing down your neck, telling you to say Jesus, Jesus, over and over again, and you were supposed to shout backwards like I did at the age of 14, just to get them off of your back, then you're probably on your way to hell. But at some point, if you're truly born again, you heard somebody proclaim to you the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we just read it to you. The death, burial, and resurrection, Danae, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, regarding the importance of creeds in the church and in the history of the church, Dr. R. Scott Clark said, it is true that there are churches and even entire denominations that have relegated the creeds and confessions to the museum or to the dust bin. And that is so sad. In such cases, the fault lies not with the creeds and confessions, but with infidelity, the lack of faithfulness by the saints. For those congregations and denominations that still believe God's word as it was understood in the ancient church and in the Reformation The creeds and confessions are the living voice of the church's understanding of God's word on the most important issues of Christian doctrine and living. It's all right. It's good stuff. Even for Baptists, it is good stuff. It may be a point of revival for Orthodox Christians, Bible-believing Christians, to pull out the old Nicene Creed or the Apostles' Creed to remind ourselves of the faith. Throughout Christian history and biblical history, right before revival broke out, there was a reminding of the people of what the Word of God said. The old landmarks, for we all have a tendency to get away from the truths of the Word of God. We all do. It's unfortunate, it's sad. But we do forget the important things we should remember. They become a formality. By the way, when you pick up your Bible again, pick up an old-fashioned hymn book again as well. Oh, where have the hymn books gone? One great preacher of the past, I believe his name is R.A. Torrey, he wrote several articles about the importance of the hymn book. I even went looking for a hymn book online today. It was hard-pressed, hard to find one. Somebody had done an app for the hymn book, the Baptist hymn book, but I went to it and I think it's gone. I don't know what happened to it. I can't find it. I saw a Seventh-day Adventist hymn book. I said, no, I can't sing those songs. That's not where I come from. So I did not put that on my phone. I tried to put a Baptist hymnal. For my favorite book outside of the Bible has been for years. I had three hymn books. Beautiful white Southern Baptist hymn book. I had a beautiful maroon-colored National Baptist hymn book. And then I had a red-colored Independent Baptist hymn book. Get yourself a hymn book. When you find one online, send it to me. Because I do most things digitally now as well. So I have not used the hymn books. We just sing the old hymns from YouTube. We just have ourselves a time. And so, ladies and gentlemen, in this series, we have looked at the following factual statements from the Nicene Creed based upon the Word of God, the Bible. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty. And guess where we got that from? From the Israelites in the Old Testament. Maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, begotten from the Father, before all ages, God from God, light from light. And by the way, this is all based upon the Holy Scriptures in the Old Testament. True God from true God, begotten, not made, of the same essence as the Father. Now the Bible teaches this, but it'll be hard. You'll be hard-pressed to find it like this if you don't know your Bible. So it's good to get it like this, particularly for the saints who will not dig for it. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. He became incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made human. He was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered, died, and was buried. The third day he rose again according to the scriptures. And then I took the liberty to add this by the grace of God, because it's based upon the Word of God, it's based upon the Bible. And I believe it should have been installed way back yonder, but it wasn't. He was seen alive by Mary Magdalene and the other women. Again, some people believe that this was done for Jesus to liberate women and to call them as preachers. I believe that it could be because the disciples forsook him. And just like myself as a father, if my sons fail me, I look to my daughters to go ahead on and do what needs to be done for the gospel's sake. I believe it was very practical. They were there when he died, the women, and they were there and got the blessing of being there to see him alive again, having risen from the dead. And so Jesus told him, go tell the disciples that I'm back. Be that as it may. Mary Magdalene, seen. He was seen alive by Mary Magdalene and the other women, the disciples, and over 500 other brethren. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again with glory to judge the living and the dead. His kingdom will never end. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. He proceeds from the Father and the Son, and with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified. He spoke through the prophets. And then today, ladies and gentlemen, we will continue looking at the final section of the New Nicene Creed, which reads as follows. We believe in one holy, universal, and apostolic church. And by the way, that is not just the Catholic Church. That's not the Catholic Church. We affirm one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. It includes everybody who has been born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Everybody who truly believes on Jesus Christ as Savior with sincerity. That is the universal church. Every blood-washed individual who trusts in Jesus Christ as Savior plus nothing, minus nothing. We look forward to the resurrection of the dead and to life in the world to come. Amen. That's what Christians believe, based upon the Word of God, the Bible. In the third to last line of this fine creed, we affirm one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We see an emphasis on the forgiveness of sins. Psalm 32:1 says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." And by the way, have we not forgotten words that we used to hear when we were younger? Not only the word sin, but trespasses. Not only trespasses, but transgressions. Not only transgressions, but iniquity, wickedness. For you see, beloved, sin is the problem that has plagued mankind since the beginning of time. Families are broken up because of sin. Churches split because of sin. There's trouble on the job because of sin all of the time. One of the greatest forms of government in the history of the world which America is based on is in turmoil constantly because of sin. Wars come from pride in sin and other sins. World War I, World War II, the Civil War, sin. Rebelliousness, stubbornness, disobedience. God in his grace and mercy decided not to destroy us immediately, but to do everything in his power to draw us back to himself from sin and from the hell we deserve. But since God is just and holy, sin has to be paid for. Sin has to be dealt with always. The Hebrew word translated forgiven in the Old Testament is unique because it gives us a meaning of forgiveness that is often lost in preaching and teaching from the New Testament. This Hebrew word, NASA, we're not talking about NASA down in Houston, but NASA, it means to bear, to take and carry away. When we are forgiven by God through Jesus Christ, our sins are not simply blotted out into non-existence in God's eyes. Something else happens to our sins. They are picked up and carried away through Christ. This is why John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God who has taken away the sins of the world." Amen, somebody. Some believe they've been cast into the deepest sea. I don't know what happened to them, but I thank God they're gone. Like Pilgrim's Progress Christian, none of us can bear that sin burden alone. Somebody has to come along and take it off of our backs. That's why so many people, rich and educated, famous, they don't trust Christ as Savior. That burden wears them down, and that's why they leap off of buildings. That's why they drive their cars off of cliffs. That's why they blow their brains out, because of the burden of sin and shame. And so, ladies and gentlemen, that is what happened on the cross. Jesus picked up our sins, put them on his own shoulders and carried them far away. You say, well, preacher, did he carry them? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Just thank God they're gone. That's what we call good news. Amen, somebody. Dr. R.C. Sproul said, the guilt we have incurred objectively for breaking God's law and the guilt we feel subjectively as a result make up the heaviest burden that will ever weigh upon us. Knowing that we have offended an infinitely holy Lord and God is something none of us can finally suppress. Despite our best efforts to ignore our sinful condition, in our heart of hearts, we always know that we are guilty, don't we? It's deep down in there. Guilty of not meeting God's standard. We know we're wrong. We know that we're not right. Deep down on the inside, there's garbage. There's sin that we are dealing with and struggling with, and the feeling of guilt. And the truth of the matter is, we would not make it if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side. Amen, somebody. Until we receive forgiveness from our Creator God, we feel dirty and defiled, unclean. And the only solution is the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus Christ that is available through forgiveness through our Lord Jesus Christ by believing on Him as our Savior. And after we're saved, appealing to Him and apologizing and confessing our sins. For the Bible tells us that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, but not only that, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know the best soap powder in the world is Tide. Tide, get it out. But the greatest detergent of all time, if you will, is the blood of Jesus Christ. It is thoroughly cleansed. The dirt of our sin is thoroughly cleansed away through the blood of Christ. I cannot explain it all to you. I may not understand it all, but I believe it all. How about you? I would encourage you to do the same. This forgiveness is only available to those who believe in Jesus Christ. Acts 10:43 says, all the prophets give witness that through His name, whosoever believeth in Him shall receive remission of sins. Amen, somebody. The Greek word translated remission means release from bondage or imprisonment. Now, wait a minute. This does not mean you go and sin some more now after you get remission. It doesn't work that way. And if you're born again, if you're saved, you don't think stupidly like that. You don't. Okay? Excuse me. Born again people do not think like that. You must still be lost if you think that you can get forgiveness of sins and remission of sins, and you got the license to go and sin some more, and you don't feel any guilt or pain about it, you have never been born again. Forgiveness of our sins, or pardon of sin. A young man was set free after being in jail for 5 years. Something he did in Afghanistan. The president being a pro-military president, set him free. Pardon him. He just signed a pardon letter and it was done. Does it mean that the man was perfect? No. Does it mean that the man is innocent? No, but he is pardoned. And can nobody stop it? He's free right now. Free as a bird. Because of the signature of the President of the United States. Well, Jesus signed our pardon with his blood. Amen, somebody. Letting us go as if we had never committed the sin in the first place. Until Jesus Christ came and paid for our sins, my beloved, on the cross, no man had ever experienced complete forgiveness from God. God, in his grace and mercy, had overlooked sins. God also allowed his wrath to be satiated or satisfied by the sacrifice of animals on altars. But complete forgiveness, being proclaimed as innocent, had never been done before. In Luke chapter 7, Jesus Christ told the sinful woman who came to wash his feet, "Thy sins are forgiven thee." It caused quite a stir among the religious professionals like we have today who were in the room. They could not imagine sins being forgiven without a sacrifice or offering. But when Jesus came on the scene, he began to declare forgiveness of sins because he was the Lamb of God who would be sacrificed for the sins of the whole world, hearkening back to Abraham when he told his son, the Lord God will provide his Lamb. And our sins, all of our sins, are as good as gone because of the forgiveness we receive when we receive the gift of what Dr. John Piper called the gradual, final, and victorious eradication of our sins by trusting Christ Jesus as our Savior. We can be seen as perfect, as innocent, as sinless in God's sight because Jesus bore and carried away our sins on the cross. Amen, somebody. Isaac Watts said many years ago, "Happy the man to whom his God no more imputes his sin, but washed in the Redeemer's blood, have made his garments clean again. His spirit hates deceit and lies. His words are all sincere. He guards his heart, he guards his eyes to keep his conscience clear. Happy beyond expression, he whose debts are thus discharged, and from the guilty bondage free, he feels his soul enlarged." Amen, somebody. Let's all stand for prayer. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for salvation and forgiveness of our sins, full and free, through your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, was buried and rose again. And Holy Father God, we know that your holy gospel is the power unto salvation. Open blinded eyes, unstop deaf ears, and save those who are lost. among us here and around the world, listening live right now and listening on demand once everything is up. Help them to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Help them to repent of their sins and ask your forgiveness and to receive Christ, the free gift of salvation. Help them to do it tonight, for tomorrow is not promised us. Help them to do it tonight, because today is the day of salvation. None of us may be here tomorrow. So Lord, help us to act accordingly. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Now, beloved, if you're with us tonight and you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation from sin and hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all know this. We all have failed God. We all have done wrong. We know we don't add up right. We don't meet his holy standard. Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die physically because of sin. The man preaching to you tonight will one day die. It may very well be tonight. You may never see me again. You will die. I may never see you again. People are dying every day at young ages. Just a few days ago, a great movie director died at 51. Just a few days ago, a liberal Christian writer died at 37. Someone died at 21 the other day. Just the other day, a father, so-called, put a 3-month-old child in a car to get back at his girlfriend or whatever, or former wife, strapped her down and set the car on fire. People are dying at all ages today. Tomorrow is not promised you. Please understand that. That's just not a phrase. That's the truth. A man that helped me and my daughters to get their first bedroom sets, picture of health, was alive one moment, had an aneurysm, and died at the age of 51. The wages of sin is death, And that's the reason why we all die, the rich and the poor. Those of us who have plans and those of us who don't, we all die. The tragedy of death is that you don't know when. You don't know when you're going to die, but you will die. So you might as well prepare. Some of you have prepared with life insurance. Some of you have prepared with health insurance. Some of you are preparing right now on a treadmill trying to live longer, but you know you're going to die. Some of you have prepared with car insurance, but you don't have eternal life insurance. And that's what you need tonight to avoid going to hell, so that you can go to heaven with the family called the Beloved. Hell is a real place, by the way. If it were not a real place, Jesus Christ, a historical figure, just like Abraham Lincoln, but who happened to be the Son of God, who died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again. He died and came back to life again. The only man to do that on his own power. You see, he said, I lay down my life. You don't take my life from me. I lay it down for you. I choose to die for your sins. And I'll raise myself up from the dead. How about that? Jesus Christ believed that there was a hell and believes that there is a hell because he created it for the devil and his angels. And unfortunately and sadly, if you act like the devil, live like the devil, and look like the devil, like some of you do, you will go to hell with the devil. The devil, you choose the devil for your father, you're going to go to hell and be with the devil, your father, for the rest of eternity. I said all of that because to say this, and that is, Jesus Christ preached more on hell than all of the prophets of the Bible combined. Jesus Christ, the greatest prophet of all time, the Son of God, preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Why? Because he loves us. Just like a good parent. A good parent tells his children the bad news and the good news. If you trust me as Savior, you'll go to heaven with me. If you don't, you will go to hell. Jesus Christ preached and said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hell is a very real place. Hell is a place of torment. Hell is a place of darkness, even though there's fire. Hell is a place of an agonizing memory. Hell is a place of burning forever. Hell is a place of gnashing of teeth. People screaming and wailing and hollering for eternity. If you cannot stand a baby crying, you better not go to hell, my dear friend. It's going to be noisy down there, and there won't be a party going on. You will not have a slit small liquor bull. You're not going to have a party going on in hell. So don't talk stupidly to me. I'm going to be with my friends, and we're going to have a good old time. No, you're not. It's no good time in hell, my dear friends. I beg you, I plead with you to trust Christ as Savior tonight. Now, hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. You don't have to go to hell. You can go to heaven. You say, well, preacher, I got to get myself together. You'll die and go to hell first. Trying to get yourself together. No, the idea is you trust Christ as Savior, and he'll help you get yourself together. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that word whosoever means anybody, it's inclusive, it means everybody. Whosoever, if you're in this world, God is talking about you. Whosoever believeth in him, Jesus Christ, should not perish, that is, perish in hell, but have everlasting life in heaven with God, with Jesus, with the angels, and with the beloved, the saints. And just believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, to take your sins away, was buried, and rose from the dead on the third day by his own power, the power of God, for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart right now, today, and he will. For the Bible promises in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou, you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou, you shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. So believe on Christ Pray and ask him to save you. I'll be glad to lead you in prayer as someone led me 40 years ago. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a wicked sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments, for I have lied. I have stolen things. I have taken your holy name in vain. I've dishonored and disrespected my parents and many other sins I've committed in your sight. And you have them all written down in your book. So for Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul. And please forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the best way that I know how. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to repent of my sins. Help me to turn from my evil ways and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again, allow me to say congratulations to you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Ladies and gentlemen, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior tonight, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you to help you grow in the faith. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well. And we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, beloved, God loves you. We love you. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. And may God bless you real good, is our prayer. Loved me.